Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Let's say hello to a guy who comes and joins us every once in a while and keeps us on top of what's going on in Knoxville, Ben McKee, at BenMcKee14 on Twitter, Swain Event, and Rocky Top Insider. Mr. Ben, hey, not the prettiest win last night, but a win is a win, and it gets the job done, especially as we get closer to March.
Absolutely. Hope you all are doing well. Appreciate you having me on again. Couldn't agree more. A win is a win, but they're definitely not going to be showing last night's game between Tennessee and Vanderbilt in the Hall of Fame anytime soon. But I guess if you're Tennessee, even though it was a disappointing performance at times, you're just happy to get out with a win and continue to focus on the SEC tournament and trying to position yourself in the best way possible in terms of seeding.
Well, you definitely caught a break, too, with Vanderbilt with a very depleted roster. And I think we had all kind of had this game circled as this is going to be a fun watch. And then Vandy missing its top two players and Cleavon Brown as well. That was, if you're Rick Barnes, you're not upset about that. But for people who wanted to see a more fun game, that definitely blew the candle out on that.
Yeah, I don't know how fun it would have been for Tennessee fans had Scotty Pippen Jr. and Dylan Dessou played in the game. I kind of had a bad feeling about the game in terms of Tennessee going into it, just based off of how Vanderbilt has continued to improve under Jerry Stackhouse. Dylan Dessou has been a huge problem for teams the last couple of weeks. One of the most underrated players in the SEC, maybe not underrated anymore now that he was named the SEC Player of the Week this past week for his performance against Kentucky and Alabama. Obviously, it's really unfortunate that he's going to have season-ending knee surgery, and his season has come to an end. But prior to that injury news, I thought Dylan Dessou was going to be a pain in the butt for Tennessee last night. I did not see anybody on Tennessee's roster that matched up with him well. John Fulkerson obviously isn't having the season that he envisioned. And Eve Pons, he's not having a bad season by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think that knee injury that he is dealing with is really hampering his production. So I like a healthy Eve Pons on Dylan Dessou, but Eve Pons with a banged up knee is not a great matchup. And I think you saw that last night when Vandy was able to dunk on Eve Pons. I think a healthy Eve Pons doesn't get dunked on last night. So I don't think that would have been a great result for Tennessee based off the way that they had been playing and the way that Dylan Dessou and Scottie Pippen Jr. had really been putting the team on their back lately.
Talking with Ben McKee, Swain Event, Rocky Top Insider as well.
Well, Ben, thanks for coming on. I guess one more question about basketball. You know, that was a little disappointing, almost like let the air out. I mean, Vanderbilt was still in that game really down to the last 2 or 3 minutes, with 6 points to it, with fouling and everything else. And Bailey looked good. Springer at times looked good, even though he had good numbers. What is actually, you think, the core of their issues with all that talent? What's going on there? All seem unselfish. What is the main issue, you think?
The fact that they're all unselfish. They like to help each other too much, and they don't have that Lamonte Turner that is just going to grab the bull by the horns and not allow this team to go 12 minutes at Ole Miss without scoring. Allow a Florida team that is without three of its best players to hold them around the 50-point mark and beat them with those three players out. A Lamonte Turner that last night not going to allow the team to go 6 minutes in the first half without scoring, after they had gone on a nice 10-0 run. So I think it's that they're too unselfish. They need to be more selfish, as odd as that sounds. And you saw that in prime form last night. The two biggest issues last night for Tennessee was Vanderbilt's ability to knock down shots from the three-point line. And Vanderbilt shot some of those threes, made some of those threes with a hand in their face, and kind of some of those you couldn't do anything if you're Tennessee. But there are also times where whoever was in the corner helped off his man to the point to where he was in the paint and he left the guy in the corner wide open for three and had to pay the price for that. So over-helping on defense gave them some issues last night and has given them some issues over the last month. And then you also look at the turnovers. You go back and look, and there were, I bet, 5, 6, 7 turnovers where a Tennessee player had a play at the basket for a layup, but dunk, could have drawn a foul and gone to the free throw line. But they try to make that one extra pass when they shouldn't make the extra pass. So as odd as it sounds, I think the unselfishness and not having that alpha that Lamonte Turner was to grab the bull by the horns, I think that's the biggest issue right now, is that they're too unselfish and it's leading to too many turnovers and breakdowns on the defensive side.
Ben McKee, managing editor of Rocky Top. I guess I didn't see what were Coach Barnes' comments after the game. What did he say?
Well, the post game Wi-Fi was as ugly as the basketball game was, so it was not a great post game press conference, and he seemed to be a little bit frustrated, but also happy with the fact that they were able to win the basketball game. Josiah Jordan-James was able to come back and contribute. Scottie Pippen Jr., Dylan Dessou, obviously they spent a lot of time game planning for them and showed up and saw them rebounding for their teammates and found out then that they were not going to play. But the turnovers, he was dumbfounded by some of them, that some of these careless turnovers are being made at this point in the season. And then with the three-point shooting that I kind of talked about from Vanderbilt's perspective, he did acknowledge that some of them were tough shots, and you have to give Vanderbilt credit for that. But there were also instances where they just had mental lapses on that end of the floor. Tennessee did. They talked about not leaving their feet, not biting for the pump fake, and there are 3 or 4 occasions where Tennessee still did that, even despite having talked about that leading up to the game. So he was not happy. Didn't get to talk to him long because of the post game drama with the Wi-Fi.
Right.
But he seemed kind of annoyed. Not like he was after the Kentucky game or a loss. Happy to get the win, but definitely some things to work on.
We're naturally on to football, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. And we want to talk about Heupel and how's it going in the recruiting. And in particular, one of the local guy, I guess, in the state of Tennessee, Ty Simpson. What are the odds they think they can get him, let alone everything else that people said that he couldn't do or he wouldn't be able to be a great recruiter? What are your thoughts early in this process? At least things like he's doing a lot of digging and coming up with some offers to some kids.
Yeah, I think Josh Heupel will be able to recruit for Tennessee. He's a genuine guy, and he has a lot to sell on the offensive side of the ball with what his offense does, with how they develop players, the production they get from their players, and how they prepare their players for the NFL. So I do think that when you go from a UCF logo to a Tennessee logo, and yes, I realize that UCF has had far more success on the football field than Tennessee of late. But Tennessee's in the SEC. Tennessee is one of the all-time brands in college football. And I think you see coaches when they get to put on that power T or elsewhere in the conference as well, you see their recruiting elevate just because they have a whole new bag of goods to sell. And I mean, at the end of the day, a bag of goods in the SEC is better than a bag of goods at arguably the best non-Power 5 school. So I do think you're going to see he and his staff recruit. The staff, from my perspective, is just full of really good, genuine, hardworking dudes that truly care about people. And I think that will pay off in relationship building. In regards to Ty Simpson, I think it'll be wrong of people to blame Josh Heupel if Tennessee does not get Ty Simpson tomorrow. Tennessee not getting Ty Simpson tomorrow isn't a Josh Heupel can't recruit problem. That is a Jeremy Pruitt was doing too much behind the scenes and got fired problem, because I firmly believe that Ty Simpson would without a doubt pick Tennessee tomorrow if Jeremy Pruitt was still the head coach, because they had such a great relationship. So if Jeremy Pruitt was still the head coach, Ty Simpson would end up being a Vol. So I hope that narrative doesn't happen tomorrow afternoon Ty Simpson picks Clemson or Alabama, because Josh Heupel has done the best job he could over the last 2 to 3 weeks in trying to really recruit Ty Simpson. It's a Jeremy Pruitt got fired issue if Ty Simpson doesn't pick Tennessee. But Tennessee also does have a legitimate shot at Ty Simpson. I know there's been some buzz about 50-50 between Alabama and Clemson. I don't think anybody truly knows what Ty Simpson is going to do tomorrow other than Ty Simpson. I do think Tennessee has a good shot. He's got to pick between the heart and the head. The head tells him to make the better business decision, and that is obviously go play for Nick Saban or Dabo Sweeney. The heart wants him at Tennessee. So we'll see what wins out tomorrow at 3 o'clock, 3 Eastern. But I do believe that Tennessee absolutely has a shot. I truly don't think anybody knows where Ty Simpson is going other than Ty Simpson. And he may not even 1,000% know as he goes into tomorrow.
I guess real quick, you talked about the UCF logo and the UT logo. Is there a potential of them playing each other now that the coach is now with UT and then they kind of hired an SEC coach and, you know, a new AD? Is that in the hoppers? You think it's going to happen down the road?
It's definitely something that wouldn't surprise me if it is talked about. I know that there's been some articles and stories out there about the new athletic director at UCF that came over from Arkansas State, potential about trying to get something done. I think Danny White has had more pressing issues since he took the athletic director job at Tennessee, so I don't know how involved he's been in those type of conversations, but it's hard not to think that that isn't a possibility with how much Danny White was willing to help out UCF when he took the job, and UCF was looking for a head coach and an athletic director at the same time. And he said in his press conference that as long as it didn't interfere with his work at Tennessee, he was more than willing to help UCF in any way he could. So Danny White seems like a guy that would give back, to the place that kind of helped mold him, build him into what he is now, and quite frankly, helped him get the Tennessee job. So, I definitely think it's a possibility, and it's something that I don't know would be in the best interest for Tennessee right now, but 7, 8, 5 years from now, there's no reason that those teams shouldn't play. I think it'd be a great home and home series if that's how it works out. UCF right now may be scary for Tennessee, but by that point, Tennessee, if everything goes correctly, should be, you know, prepared to take on a team like UCF. And it'll be real funny and ironic if that turns out to happen after Danny White just could not schedule a home and home with a Power Five school while he was at UCF, just because nobody really wanted to play UCF. So it would be pretty ironic if it does happen between Tennessee and UCF.
No doubt. We're on managing editor of Rocky Top Insider and Ed Swain Event, Ben McKee.
Yeah, Ben, I know Terry Bahadur pretty well. I wouldn't be surprised if he might even do a 2-for-1. Come to Tennessee twice for one trip to UCF. He's a very aggressive scheduler. I've been in the room and watched him schedule games. So that was a big Danny White hang up, was his thing was people wanted not just a 1-and-1, but a 2-for-1, and he never would do that. I think Terry would do it. So this may be something that actually happens. I know Terry will pursue it aggressively.
Yeah, and I remember kind of watching from afar in terms of Danny White not being fond of the 2-for-1 from UCF's perspective. And I thought he was being a little bit stubborn in that regard. Yes, UCF has earned the right to play a home and home. But I think you also have to remember that UCF is UCF at the end of the day. And you're trying to schedule games with SEC schools at the time, Florida, and it's not advantageous, in my opinion, to schedule just a simple home and home if you're Florida. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I'm being naive to the situation. But if the new athletic director down there at UCF is more than willing to do that, like you think he is, then I think that's great for UCF and will only help continue bolster their brand that is skyrocketing right now.
I saw that Brian Jean-Marie, I hope I'm saying this right, is official as the linebackers coach. If you look at this guy's past and his profile, he has been a heck of a recruiter and may open some doors in that central part of the company to introduce some new potential recruits to the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, and they've already hit the state of Texas really hard. I know he's not just limited to Texas, but you've seen him send a lot of offers out in the state of Texas already. He sent an offer out to a three-star linebacker that happens to be Caden Salter's cousin, who is currently a freshman quarterback at Tennessee. And maybe that's a pipeline there that Tennessee can start to expand if Caden Salter has success at Tennessee. And I think this recruiting staff, the coaching staff, has really sneaky recruiting ties. There's nobody that really just jumps off the page at you. But when you dive in to the resume of these coaches, they have an impressive bullet points of where they've coached and where they have relationships at. You look on the offensive side of the ball with Jerry Mack. He can go into Memphis for you. He's from Memphis. And that is a crucial aspect of this staff. Cody Burns is an Alabama guy, played at Auburn, coached at Auburn, so he'll have ties to the Southeast, and he's been able to develop some receivers at Auburn that are on the verge of being drafted very highly, and Anthony Schwartz and Seth Williams. So Cody Burns, he has ties to the Southeast, and the rest of that offensive coaching staff, in terms of recruiting, they've been down at Florida recruiting. So you also have ties down in the state of Florida. And then Rodney Garner, he I'm sure he knows everybody in the Southeast for as long as he's coached at Auburn and Georgia and now Tennessee for a second time. And Brian Jean-Marie, as you said, he has deep ties to the state of Texas. And he's also coached in Florida. He's coached up in Kentucky at Louisville. So he has ties everywhere as well. And then Willie Martinez, he has sneaky ties as well to the Southeast. He's coached plenty in the SEC and gone down to Florida and coached. So I completely agree with you. Tennessee has ties kind of sprinkled in all throughout the Southeastern footprint, but they also have coaches that can go up to Detroit and within Michigan with new defense coordinator Tim Banks, and those relationships can pay off. And you have Brian Jean-Marie who can go into the state of Texas and pluck a guy. You don't need to try to butter your bread there. You don't need to try and make your living in the state of Texas or in Florida or up north. But if you can go in and kind of sweeten the recruiting class with a couple of players, that would be big for Tennessee. Tennessee is successful when it is recruiting nationally. And I do think that this staff has potential, not only because of the ties, but as I mentioned earlier, I think the staff is made up of genuine dudes who care about their players, and I think that's going to pay off in recruiting when it comes to building relationships.
Ben, we got about a minute left. I wanted to try to sneak one more in. Dondi Plowman said earlier this week it looks like the investigation is nearing its end. I wonder if we can expect to see some type of self-penalties when this investigation reaches its end.
Yeah, I would be surprised if you don't. She seemed to be unsure if she gets an answer by football season. So just me speculating, I do think you'll see Tennessee come out and self-impose penalties before the football season begins. That way Josh Heupel can kind of know what he is recruiting as he goes through year one as Tennessee's head coach.
We appreciate it, brother. Good stuff. At Ben McKee 14. People can find you, of course, on the Swain event weekday mornings and all the time with Rocky Top Insider. Appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate you having me on. Have a great weekend.